Tom.
I am live. Good evening to some of you and good morning to others. I am George Russell, just sitting in for Kate Delaney as she is in the beautiful Hawaiian Islands, an 85-degree temperature, in my first time sitting in for her, and I'm honored and I'm flattered. And this should be very exciting for the next couple of days. And first, let me tell you that I empathize with those of you that listen to talk radio and you have your constant each and every day. And then all of a sudden you hear a different voice with a different tone and a different demeanor. And that is difficult. It can throw you way off. So I empathize with you there. Hopefully you'll have some fun for the next couple of days. And you'll learn something. And maybe you'll even want to, you know, join me in on anything. Because, of course, I'm open to talk about anything. And I can get going. I'll tell you a little bit about myself before we get rolling into things here. So you know who you're listening to a little bit. Because I can't see you. Although, most times I do have a live cam going on. But this evening, I don't. I'm on a broadcast binge right now, if you would. I host a morning show, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday. So I did this morning, and now I'm doing 12, and I'm live, 12 midnight to 4. And then I'm back on air at 6 a.m. this morning. And then tomorrow, and then at 12 midnight tomorrow morning, I'm going to have jet lag, and I'm not even moving by the time this is all over, and then 6 a.m. again. So let's see if we can make it through, and as long as I know you're there, then I will continue to do what I'm doing. You can just be assured that Kate would not leave you in, disarray, that's for sure. I can go back to a little incident in how I met Kate anyway. Just to give you a little background on myself, this is my 14th year of broadcasting. And I broadcast right now in the beautiful state of New Hampshire, which is right now outside of my window. It is a balmy 3 degrees. And, okay, I'll take care of that, sir. I think I will. Here we go. That should fix it. Some of you, wherever you are at, it's probably warmer. I know I spoke to Kate around 10:30 my time, 85, and she's swimming with tortoises. And don't think I'm not going to razz her throughout the evening. I must have picked the short straw. I've interviewed everybody from presidents to the founder of Hell's Angels and everybody in between in all these years. Have it be known that I did reach out to the president to ask him to join us this evening. And, they got back to me and told me that he's sleeping at that time. But don't think I didn't try. I did try. I'll try anybody. Believe me, I don't hold back on anything. That's the one thing you'll notice about the show here. I am unscripted, unrehearsed, multidimensional, and full of energy. I can go from 0 to 150 in a heartbeat. I may be banging things in here. We may get serious. We may have a laugh. We may listen to some music. We just roll along as you're doing what you're doing. If you're on the East Coast, it's midnight, and this is the overnight hour, and then West Coast, 9 p.m., and so forth. And it's pretty cold across most of the country unless you're in the areas where most times it's not. But it's probably still a little cooler. So, we're all going through whatever it is they're selling. I know that I have to give the weather on my show in the morning. And I go through the record temperatures, it happened to be where I'm broadcasting out of. The low temperature was set in 1961. It was minus 28 straight up. There was no wind chill. There was no polar vortex. There was nothing. They called it winter. And they said, put more wood on the fire. Today's a different age, and I don't think it's a big loss to the Dish Network that they dropped the Weather Channel. For years, I've been saying, how do you even justify a 24-hour day Weather Channel? You can't. My mind goes through a couple of scenarios over the last week alone here in this particular state. And I've decided that, look, if there is reincarnation, and I'm part of it, there's a couple of one of three things I'd like to come back as. I've already figured this out. I want to be a meteorologist, or I want to be a politician, or somebody in the petroleum business. And let me give you the reasons why. There's no recourse for anything that you do wrong. Nothing, you can get away with anything. All right. We've already seen this ample times across the United States now and in neighboring country Canada with this. This guy's a nut. It's his bottom line. You know, he has issues. You know, he's an alcoholic. He doesn't want to admit it yet. That's fine. He's an embarrassment to the people that voted for him, and he's the mayor up there. And he's back in the news today with video, and I can't even understand what he's saying. Can you? You know, he can do that. And even in sports, you get a penalty flag, you know. In politics, you can do anything you want. They'll come around and dog and pony you and get your vote and smile and dress nicely and promise you the world. They get in there and do something wrong, they're not getting out. You know, you have to force them out. They won't step down. They can't get fired. Why? Who knows? You know, somewhere along the line, somebody amended a constitutional right, amended it to make it so they could protect themselves. It's as simple as that. You know, and I don't spend a lot of my shows talking about politics because, you know, personally, I would love to see a world where we didn't have a party. Just a person's name. You know, people are judged by the umbrella that they sit under. And for those that aren't, you know, schooled or even have the time to go do a research on a thing, they buy into what anybody's selling. And if you're a Democrat, then you do this, that, the other thing. And if you're a Republican, you do this, that, the other thing. We need to get away from that somehow. Problem is that it's very convoluted. We'll never get to the bottom of it because we start to deal with money. And parties or people that would just like to run, they have to file. Go on to something independent or whatever it might be. They don't have the money to go up against these, you know, monstrosities that have power behind them because of it. One day, maybe, and if we can get to that, then we'll be, I think, heading in the right direction. There's not a state out there that doesn't have an issue. You know, there's millions of listeners for Kate's show, and you can be assured that there's senators and congressmen and these people that make decisions for states and people's lives listening to the show. It's the greatest thing about radio. It's the greatest format of media ever invented where you can speak to somebody personally. And you'll never know who it is that's listening to you, you know, and you can get them in the car and you have 100% attention and they listen. And I know that there are hosts up there that are much more caustic than I would ever be. And smashing and bashing and things like that. And I believe that my objective is by the time I'm done with the program that I left the planet better because I might not be here tomorrow. And I've edified those that were listening and made you feel good about a thing when it is nothing but discouragement day in and day out, every day with the headlines. And I'm not a headline jumper, okay? You know, I have to go through about 12 or 13 different papers every morning. And I grab what I think that can edify the community in one way, shape, or form. That doesn't mean that I don't get critical on a thing. It takes people to stand up and do something to make changes. If you continue to have the attitude that you can't fight City Hall, then we're never going to get better in any aspect of anything that you want to do, even wherever it is that you live. I think that the Chamber of Commerce for the state of New Hampshire should be paying me for the broadcast when I'm basically going to be talking a little bit about what's my state all about. I met Kate about 5 years ago at a domestic violence talk radio row. You know, I'm part of the same talk radio news network that she is, and I was there before she had come in and been part of it, and we just started talking. Already? See what happens here? See, I'm used to talking for 55 minutes straight without a break. I got to get used to this Genesis clock here. All right, that means we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll get the show started with my first guest. I'm George Russell, sitting in for Kate Delaney. Be right back.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The time and right, folks. Trust me. We'll be rolling. Oh, how nice is that? I'm George Russell, filling in for Kate Delaney, who is in the beautiful 85-degree temperatures in Hawaii, by the way. I don't even know if you knew that they have 40 to 50-foot waves on all islands there. And they expect to see them for the next week. So hopefully she'll send some pictures of those waves. I've never witnessed that with my eyes. But we'll talk to her in hour number four of her own show, America Tonight. I'm just babysitting. And I have a guest. You're going to love this guy. Trust me on that one. He is an American author. He's best known as the author of the 1999 New York Times best-selling Letters of a Nation. I'd like to introduce to the airwaves Mr. Andrew Carroll, a friend of mine. Hello, Andrew.
How are you, my friend? You sound great.
Yeah, good to see you, or good to hear from you again. I mean, it's been a few months, right?
It has. I saw you up in New Hampshire, and I really appreciate you letting me on.
Oh, we had a good time. And one of the reasons why is not from your New York Times best-selling Letters of a Nation. It was your other book that wrapped me up, and that was Here Is Where. I mean, come on. First, you can give an overview of what Here Is Where is. It is on history. But
right, and I really wrote it for people who think they're not interested in history, because I wasn't growing up. I was always bored by the subject matter. And right before Christmas of 89, my house in Washington, D.C., where my family's house, burned down. And everything we had was wiped out. And nobody was hurt, which is obviously the most important thing. But it was losing all of our family memorabilia that just really hit me. And I would talk with other people, you know, who'd lost things, and we just really reminisced about, you know, once these things are gone, the photos, the letters, they're obviously irreplaceable. But what really struck me was I spoke with a distant cousin of mine who had served in World War II, and he had written these incredible letters home from the wartime, and he sent me some of them. And when I said, hey, I really appreciate you sharing with these, I'll send them back, he said, you know, just keep them. I probably would have thrown them out anyway. And he had these eyewitness accounts of, like, the liberation of concentration camps and all these things that American soldiers had done, you know, really heroic things. And it just got me talking to other veterans, and I was shocked by how many of them had already thrown their letters away, whether it was from Vietnam or Korea or whatever war. So I launched this effort called the Legacy Project to encourage Americans to save their war letters. And I just, you know, it was just sort of a passion, but it wasn't really a job or anything like that. And Dear Abby wrote a column about it for, you know, it appeared in all these newspapers. And I just got inundated with literally tens of thousands of war letters that no one had ever seen before, from the Civil War, the Revolution, World War One, you know, again, World War Two, Korea, Vietnam, up to the present day. And so that just kind of became this all-consuming passion of really trying to save these letters as a way of you know, remembering our veterans. And it was while reading through the letters that I came across all these incredible stories I'd never heard before, like the sinking of the Sultana, which was a ship that was carrying all these Union prisoners of war who had survived Gettysburg and all these things. They were finally going home at the end of the war. And the ship blew up just outside of Memphis, and an estimated 1,800 of these soldiers perished. And even by the low estimates, it's worse than the Titanic. And so here you have a story about, you know, a sinking, the worst maritime disaster in our history, worse than the Titanic, and almost nobody's heard about it.
Yeah.
That's what really prompted the Here Is Where book, and the subtitle of that is Discovering America's Great Forgotten History. So I went to all 50 states to try and find unmarked places. Like, there's no plaque, there's no sign, there's nothing about what happened there, but yet there was some sort of significance to it. And so
I want to stop right there. Let me reintroduce you. It's Andrew Carroll. He is Andrew Carroll. He's an author. I am George Russell, sitting in for Kate Delaney on America Tonight. And the book starts off, and guess where you're going? The same place that the host I'm filling in for is at right now, Hawaii. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about what you went there for.
Yeah, so I start the book in Hawaii, and it was on the smallest of the occupied islands. It's all the way to the you know, the far end. It's called Ni'ihau, and it's actually privately owned. Even though it's part of the Hawaiian chain, it is owned by these Scottish ranchers who bought it back in 1864 for $10,000 in gold, and they've kept it ever since. And something really historic happened there on the day of Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. A Japanese plane crash-landed on the island. And most of the villagers were of Hawaiian descent, but there were two villagers who were from Japan. And they actually sided with this pilot and ended up terrorizing the rest of the village after they acquired guns and so forth. This incident, they eventually captured the Japanese pilot. He was killed. But this incident got in newspapers all across the country in December and in January of 42. And it's one of the reasons why Americans were so insistent on interning the Japanese. And it's, you know, it's sort of been forgotten, but it was a really momentous event in American history. But what I like about the story is that it ends on a very positive, is that the man who led the mission to capture the Japanese pilot was a Japanese-American himself, this really brave lieutenant. And so technically, this was the first land battle of World War II in that little island of Ni'ihau. So that was that's how I kick off the book.
It's amazing.
I just, you know, all over the country.
Exactly, you do. And the way you write, you can capture somebody's imagination. They almost feel like they're with you. That's one of the greatest things about, you know, your talent and why I have you on. You're a great writer. All of the work that you had to go through to get to dig up the information that you had. Anybody who enjoys anything about the United States of America, I mean, there is so much history. Everybody's talking about history. But the stuff that you went and did, I mean, tell the people about the story about George Washington's slave.
Yeah, well, and one thing just to emphasize is I really wanted to capture the full span of American history. So I go back to, like, the early Paleo-Indians from 15,000 years ago. The oldest human DNA was found in this cave in Oregon. And so that's, you know, kind of telling that story, and then up through the Spanish explorers and the Puritans, the Pilgrims, and then literally up to the present day. And I obviously wanted to focus on the Revolutionary era and so forth. And look, I'm, you know, George Washington is one of my heroes. But there is this element to his story where one of his slaves escaped from Philadelphia, that's when the presidential mansion was in Pennsylvania, and fled up to New Hampshire, which is, you know, where, you know, you and I talked about this story, and really set up a life for herself, you know, where she was free. But she was actively defying Washington, who was president at the time. So the point wasn't to denigrate Washington. Washington, who I think is, you know, obviously a heroic figure, but it's to show that this woman was also very courageous because she was defying the most powerful man in the country and refused to go back. And they even tried to send people up to, you know, forcibly return her, and she escaped, got away from them too. So it's a really compelling story. And it just gets in, you know, I wanted to cover all the different states, and that was one of the most powerful that I came across.
Yeah, and, you know, you ran into a lot of dead ends, and there was a lot of work to what you did do, because a lot of stuff, as you said in the beginning of the interview, we're speaking with Andrew Carroll. He's an author. I am George Russell sitting in for Kate Delaney. There's some things that were not marked anymore. You know, you'd go into
none of the places I went to. Yeah, that was the whole point. In fact, I actually flew out to Montana to find this one Native American site. When I got there, they had just put up a marker, so I couldn't write about it because that kind of disqualifies it. One thing I am doing is starting this April, when the paperback comes out, is to put up markers in some of these places. And one of the things I'm hoping to do is the first cell phone call in history was made just outside the Hilton on 6th Avenue in New York City back in 1973. And I found the inventor of the cell phone, and he sent me a map, and he pinpointed the exact spot where it happened. And he was really funny because he actually put in the middle of 6th Avenue, in the middle of the street, first almost hit by a car while talking on a cell phone, which, you know, would have been sort of funny because that was the first time he, you know, was using it. And so we want to put up a marker at the Hilton where that all took place.
The New York Times did a great article on you. A historian is on a quest to locate lost events, and the one that really was, I thought was great, great picture of you as well, is the one for National Geographic Traveler. That's a nice shot of you right there. Where are you anyway? Less traveled road. Where is that?
That's in Maine. So it was actually while I was up in New Hampshire, I went over to Maine. I passed that sign just by sheer.
What happens in Maine? Nothing happens in Maine. Come on.
No, actually, Maine had a couple good stories, especially about the sort of the forerunner to Prohibition. And I'll get back to Prohibition because that was one of my, there was sort of a theme that ran through a lot of these stories. I saw that road sign. It says the road less traveled, just like the Frost poem. And I was like, oh, that's kind of what I'm doing, is like traveling down all these lost roads. And that interview with National Geographic Traveler, I'm going to be blogging for them starting this spring because I'm going to go back out on the road looking for new sites. And the, you know, even though the book is out, the whole point of this was to inspire people to find their own forgotten history sites. And so anybody can go to the website, hereiswhere.org, and my email is there. But if they have suggestions for a favorite little-known history story, I'd love to know about it.
Well, let me tell you something. This thing exploded. This thing's exploded since you and I talked last.
Yeah, we've gotten really great feedback and all sorts of new ideas. Of
must have been that interview I did with you then. It has to be what I did with you back then, Andrew. I mean, you know.
Oh, it definitely spiked. I got all sorts of emails and phone calls.
I know.
Some of them were hateful, you know. No, they were all very positive.
I want you to hold on because I'm going to do another segment because you're working on something else as well. So I want to get to that right after the break, all right? So hold on.
Great.
All right, I'm George Russell sitting in for Kate Delaney, who's sunning herself in beautiful Hawaii. I'm just babysitting until she gets back. My name's George Russell. Take a quick break. We'll come right back.
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze-Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze-Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
I am George Russell, sitting in for Kate Delaney on America Tonight. It's good to be with you. I'll be here until Friday morning at 4. Thank you for hanging in there. Oh, I can get used to this real quick, I'll tell you. You hear that GCN sounder, and now I feel like a big shot, Andrew, you know? Hey, listen, I'm speaking with Andrew Carroll. He is an author extraordinaire. He's the editor of several New York Times bestsellers. He's including The War Letters, Letters of a Nation, and Behind the Lines, War Letters inspired by the critically acclaimed PBS documentary of the same name. And that audio version of the book was nominated for a Grammy in the spoken word category. And the book, Here Is There, is out and about. You can go get it. You can go to the website, www.hereiswhere.org. You can get it there. You'll enjoy it. Is this thing, hey, I remember speaking with you about this book when it came out so early. It wasn't even in the e-edition yet.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've got an e-edition. I'm old-fashioned. I like an actual book, so I don't even pay attention to what's out there.
Well, you're coming out with a soft cover, right? Because I have the hard cover.
Right. Soft cover's coming out in April, and I'm going to go across country finding more little-known historic sites, putting up markers. And most of all, and I think this is what you were alluding to before we went to a break, to find more war letters and to really build up that archive and to make it the largest collection of war letters in the world.
That's where the people come in to help you with that, though, right?
That's right. So I'm going to drive cross country. I'm going to be visiting at, you know, veterans halls and schools and civic organizations, and we just spread the word. And people come in, they bring letters or they send them to us, and the whole point is just to kind of create this living memorial to our veterans, our troops, their families, through their own words. And so far, far, people have shared with me about 100,000 letters. I'm donating the entire collection to a university in California called Chapman University, and they have given us a staff and facilities and archivists, and we're going to do this right. So these letters are going to be safeguarded for posterity, and the stuff that people have shared with us is just, I was just reading a letter recently of a young sailor inside a ship at Pearl Harbor, speaking of Hawaii again, and it's written on December 7, 1941, and he's describing the attack from inside the ship, and it's just this incredibly dramatic account of what it felt like to be in the eye of the storm.
Listen to some of these numbers. Andrew's traveled to all 50 states. He's been more than 40 countries, including Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's collected to date an estimated 90,000 previously unpublished letters. I mean, this book is going to be
100,000 now. Keeps growing.
I mean, how are you going to put this all into a book?
Well, I think, I mean, I've already done the two books, War Letters and Behind the Line. So those feature the best of the letters that folks have sent to us. So now my priority is just to get them saved because, George, what's so sad, every day people throw out these letters or they're lost. And, you know, they're incredible documents. And whether it's guys who are at D-Day or war nurses in Vietnam or, you know, American Revolutionary soldiers back, you know, 200 some years ago, or Civil War soldiers at Gettysburg, they're really powerful accounts of history from a very personal perspective.
Now, is any of your writing, do you write before you actually put the letter in there and afterwards? I mean, because if you're doing
exactly.
that as well.
Yeah, exactly. Context of who it was. I got a letter, I couldn't believe this, by Kurt Vonnegut Jr., who wrote, of course, Slaughterhouse-Five. He survived the firebombing of Dresden during World War II. The letter he wrote home after surviving was lost, and it came up in Indiana, never before published. I got his permission to put it in the book, and so, of course, I give context of, like, you know, what happened at Dresden, what happened to Vonnegut, and so I always like the reader to know sort of the context of you know, what's happening to these individuals.
All right, you've been, and of course you've had a lot of help, because it's, you know, NBC Nightly News, of course Fox, PBS, the History Channel, everybody's giving you a little bit of profiling on this, so that's why it's taken on some legs of its own, and this looks like this is going to be something you're going to be doing for a good portion of your life, but it's what you wanted to do.
I'm doing it for the rest of my life. I love working with the military, these veterans, their families, they're just incredible people.
Speaking of that, let's go to one of the stories inside Here Is There and talk about the my memories. You know, this was months ago, so I have to go by memory. And it's not totally gone yet, Andrew, but it's getting there. What will spark your memory as well is that it's pretty funny at the time that I read it that the information about the NSA had come out. But this stuff's been happening way long before that, isn't it?
Oh, sure. I mean, I've got a couple stories that are on, like, just absolutely crazy government things that are not, this is not conspiracy theory stuff. This stuff that the documents have come out, they've been declassified, really, you know, just whether it's human experiments or strange stuff the CIA was doing by giving people LSD and then hooking them up. I'm not kidding, like, hooking them up with prostitutes to see what would happen and how the LSD was affecting them.
Where was Alchemy? They didn't ask me to get involved with that study.
The MK Ultra plan, which again has been thoroughly documented. This is not conspiracy stuff. But I want to emphasize, I really try and focus on the positive side of you know, American history, and I talk about these great inventors. You know, the guy who invented cruise control. I think I told you that story because I got pulled over for speeding. And it inspired me to find out, well, who did invent cruise control? And it turned out it was this blind inventor named Ralph Teeter. And he was blind since the age of 5, but he could hand-build a car if he had all the pieces at the age of 12. He was just a mechanical genius.
Oh, my.
So, and then also, you know, we talk about Philo Farnsworth, the 14-year-old farm boy who came up with the idea for television and helped invent television. So, you know, I really want to focus on sort of these inspiring stories as well. But, yeah, there's some crazy stuff that the book covers, and it was really kind of fun to go through all this and find things that hopefully people, you know, have that aha moment of like, boy, I never knew that.
Yeah, well, that's why the book captured me. You know, of course, I've had to do quite a bit of studying on history to do what I do. And then I came upon this, and I'm like, well, geez, I've never heard of this before. And I think one of the stories that knocked me out was when I read about Mound City, Arkansas. That one was just off the chart. I don't even know why anybody doesn't know about that.
Yeah, that's the Sultana story. And again, it's just, you know, here you have something that's worse than the Titanic. And I, last April, I put up a marker there with a great historian who had actually helped me learn more about the story. So we find there is a marker now about the victims of the Sultana. It's a very nice state marker. And the really sad coda to that story, do I have 2 minutes just to tell you what, because
you got plenty of time, buddy. Yep.
So when these Civil War soldiers all perished, and again, these are guys who had survived the entire war. They were finally going home. So they buried them south of Memphis. And then about a month later, they wanted to move them to, they have a national veterans cemetery actually in Memphis. So they disinterred them all. They put their bodies in coffins. And then they shipped them by train from the one cemetery to the bigger one. Well, a storm broke out. All the names had been written in chalk. And because of the rainstorm, all the names were washed
away. Unbelievable.
So when you go to the cemetery in Memphis, you see one row after another, unknown Civil War soldier, unknown Civil War soldier. It didn't have to be that way. They would have had their own grave site with their names on it, where their families could come, pay last respects. But it's sort of like the final indignity of these guys who had suffered so much. So it's not one of the happier stories in the book, but it's a very powerful one. And it's, again, you know, the Sultana should be as well known as the Titanic, because these guys had served their country, they were coming home, and then, you know, they didn't make it.
Now, my Andrew Carroll, American author, proficient at that. Get the book, you'll love it, and go to his website, hereisthere.org.
Here's where, I'm sorry.
I've only been doing this for about 9 hours straight now, you know, and I'm talking to walls. You have to understand, you know, for people that do what we do right here, most people that do what we do are put behind, you know, in rubber rooms. I just want to let you know that. People that talk to themselves all the time, you know, and they don't see anybody, they're usually, you know, on something. Let's go to Virginia, which I find to be very interesting, because this incident happened 10 years before Rosa Parks' arrest.
That's right. So it was an African-American woman who boarded a bus in Virginia. She was going to Maryland to see her doctor where she was from. And the bus stopped, let on some other passengers, and she was told to stand up, get out of her seat. She said, no way. So the exact same thing with, like, with Rosa Parks. This is in 1944, so more than 10 years earlier. She was arrested, thrown in jail, and it became a Supreme Court case. And it actually led to the desegregation of interstate buses. And one of the reasons why, there are two reasons why she's not better known. First of all, it happened during the war. This is 1944. So Americans were sort of understandably fixated on the D-Day landings and, you know, the troops going into Normandy and so forth. But the other thing is that, unlike Rosa Parks, Irene Morgan fought back. So when the sheriffs came on the bus to take her, she actually, in her words, kicked the sheriff in a not-so-very good place. Mm. And there's sort of the feeling that because she did fight back, it wasn't sort of the same as Rosa Parks, who just quietly got arrested and so forth. But when you read her whole story, she's just an incredible person. Mm-hmm. And you find out that even like Jackie Robinson had a similar incident on an Army bus around the same time. And if he weren't semi-famous at the time, he probably would have been court-martialed. And so I try and give, you know, just the context of how, you know, we know the Rosa Parks story, but there's so many other people like her and in a very similar circumstance that we don't hear about.
Here is where, that's the name of the book, Discovering America's Great Forgotten History. Andrew Carroll is the author. I am George Russell, sitting in for Kate Delaney, sunning herself in Hawaii. And we look forward to her coming back. You know, Andrew didn't just get, you know, take a car and get dropped off by limo to these places. This guy's had to go kayaking, barefoot, mud, okay? No car, some cars, trains, planes, balloons, just to get this information. I find one of the most fascinating stories, I got about 3 minutes here, is what went up. People do not know what happened in North Carolina at a correctional institution, what a prisoner did, which basically revolutionized modern warfare. Tell the listeners about that.
Sure, it was a bootlegger. And David Williams, he got caught, and he was put in prison, and he was a real mechanic. He was like Ralph Teeter, the guy who invented the cruise control. He was just really good with engineering and fixing stuff. In fact, the guards would bring their rifles by to have him fix them. And the warden walked past his cell one day and saw that he was drafting on paper a gun. And instead of being, you know, getting all upset, he knew that David was just really a brilliant inventor. He encouraged him, and he said that this gun is going to change warfare. And so he helped invent what was called the M1 carbine, and he's actually become known as David Carbine Williams. And it was instrumental in the Pacific Theater during the end
gotta
of
go.
World War II.
I got to go, Andrew. Yep. I'm going to send people to the website. You and I will talk again, all right? Hereisweird.org. Thank you so much for your time. All right, we'll talk to you again. We're going to take a quick break. Come right back. I'm George Russell filling in for Kate Delaney on America Tonight.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my leg has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
I am George Russell sitting in for Kate Delaney on America Tonight. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. I appreciate that. It won't be long before she'll be back. And again, I understand what it's like to have a different host sitting in the box when you're so used to a personality and a demeanor. And Kate is a doll. I don't know if any of you have actually even met her, but she is just like she is on air. And, I may hit 4,000 things before the time we get off this program, but believe me, there's a method to my madness if you hang with me, because I bounce quickly. Trust me, you'll have to keep up. I remember my earlier days, in 2000, 2001, too, when I first started broadcasting. Some of the listeners would write me and call and say, listen, can you slow down? Okay, you just talk too fast. Your grammar's atrocious. So I kept on doing what I'm doing. And then you get about 4 months later, they would email me. But thank you so much for slowing down. I appreciate it. And I wrote them back and said, I didn't slow down. You caught up finally. How's that one? Don't, you know. But you'll get used to it real quick. We don't have much time together, although we're going to be here till Friday at 4. So I want to go back to how I met her. And it was at that domestic violence shout-out that we used to do when Liz Claiborne was active in New York City. And there'd be about 25 talk radio show hosts there that would do their shows live. And we would basically just have a round robin of interviewing individuals that have been through it. I always feel the responsibility of a broadcaster is to do what they can do to help people one way or another. You know, this is just not a podium up here where you can just, you know, just flare off and rant day in and day out. That's not what I do, and it's not what I use it for. You have to think about the earlier days of radio and how it was. It was for information. And sometimes throughout the information, it'd be time for, you know, talking back and forth and conversation and whatnot. So I still feel like, you know, that's a big issue in the United States of America. I don't think that we're doing enough about it. So if I can do it, if it's twice a year, it's my responsibility to take the 3 hours out of what I broadcast each and every day to spend time on that. There's a lot of people that are going through it, and I learned so much over the years because of it, and I think it's a good thing. And that's where I met her. I don't know what. Oh, I know what happened after that. I think I had to go to Fox because I used to do the, before it was called Fox News Live, it was called the Strategy Room, and I was a panel member once a month over there. And I told her that maybe we can meet up later, you know, and hang out. Kate used to be a sports broadcaster. And she was on a station that I grew up in, New York, New York City. I worked in the city of Manhattan for 30 years before I moved here into the Northeast. And I'll tell you that story in a little bit. But we started talking about sports and then music, you know, and we just hit it off. And so we went out to dinner that evening, and then we kept in touch. And the next time, we kept in touch. How you doing? How's things going? And then we would chat as you do with her when you call her show. You know, basically about the things going on, and can you believe this, and what do you think about that, and we chew the fat with each other over the years, and then we had a great time in Louisiana when the Chamber of Commerce brought a bunch of talk radio show hosts down there for a week to tell people that it was okay to go down there and eat shrimp. You remember that whole ordeal? So we spent a week down there with Kate, and then at the talk radio convention that they have every year, we met there. So for me, to have gone all these years knowing her, to have her ask me to fill in, I'm honored. I'm flattered. And I will do the best job that I can to not have her lose any listeners. I don't want you sending her any emails. I said, I got to get that wacko off there. You know, the number one response to those individuals that hear me for the first time is, what the blank is this? I understand that. I've been doing this for a long time. And if you could get 2 days, it takes actually 3 days before you say, okay, now I got it. Unfortunately, I only have two, so we have to move a lot faster to get to know each other. I'm still trying to understand the clock. This is just, you know, to me, she's a queen doing it the way it is. I do it totally different. You know, I have to talk 40, 45, 50, 55 minutes straight. There are no breaks with what I do in the morning for 3 hours. And I'm standing by a strict clock, and I have the eye in the sky watching me, sending me messages that, you know, I just want to make sure that's tight, and I just want to carry on. For the person that may be driving tonight, for those of you, it's still evening in some places, you know, and I have to go on the air again at 6, and we have a lot to cover, and I have a lot more guests coming up. And there are some topics that I want to get to amongst the tomfoolery that I throw out throughout a program. I like to bounce in and out of a serious thing, and I don't like to be bouncing on it too much. There's enough discouragement. And, you know, my state in itself, I have to deal with on a daily basis. I have to deal with the politicians. I will let you know a couple of things this evening that you might not know before. My state, which is the state of New Hampshire, has 400 House members. Okay, now, only India has more House members than my state, and I complain about it all the time. And I'll give you an example why, and it's the same thing that has to be done down in Washington, D.C. My job, your job, I would think, hey, many people have thrown their hands up in the air and they've waved the white flag. They don't care anymore. You know, just leave me alone. Let me go about my business. And that's that. You know, don't tax me anymore and, you know, stay out of my life, basically. Nobody trusts the government anymore. They think that they're all full of bullshit day in and day out. And it just, you know, the mouse goes on the wheel. But we have to do what we need to do a little bit anyway to leave this place better for those behind us. I think my grandfather and great-grandfather did, right? And the people way before them. So we need to do a couple of things here and there, and we can do it without being caustic or vicious. And believe me, I can get moments like that as well. You know, don't tweak me too hard or you'll be turning off the radio because I'll be distorting these microphones. But I've learned over the years that it's not going to work like that, and I'm just as frustrated as everybody else. One of the things that burns me daily in my own state, which happens down at the federal level, is people that we vote for to go in and represent us. As much as you may think it's a democracy in the United States of America, it's not. We're an elected representative. You know, what they're supposed to do is get the consensus of those that they represent and go to Washington or to your own state and bring that forth. Do you think that's happening? Absolutely not. They do what they want to do, which burns me, which means that you have to do what everybody in the country tells you to do. You know, and that means to contact your senators and your House members. Don't ever forget the old saying that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It does. And I'll give you a prime example of that. I'm going to go back to right after the tragedy of New York City and the World Trade Center. And if you've never touched those buildings in your life, people, you have no idea how big they were. You put your hand on the side of that building or look up at it. And right after that, of course, with everything going on at the airport, you couldn't fly with anything. And 2001, 2, and they're about the middle of 2003, if my memory serves me correctly, they had to let women, because that's what the majority of the people wrote to Washington, bring their sewing needles on the airplanes, because those were outlawed. You couldn't bring them on anymore. But my point is that there is power in numbers, and there was enough numbers for them to say, we have to do something about this, and then they allowed them to do that. Now, I know it's really, in the scheme of things, not really a big deal, but I don't want you to lose the faith that you can't do something, that there isn't power in numbers. You need to write to your congressman and your senator about a thing. And, you know, you don't have to write long letters for those of you people that are long-winded in text and all that type of stuff. I'm not. I'm a verbal communicator. I've always been. I do not do social networking. I'm not on any of those things. I don't tweet. I don't do anything like that. I talk because I have a mouth. And that's why. And I have eyes. And I can look at you when I talk. I don't need to hide behind a computer screen and say stuff that I would never say. I'll tell you straight up. And that's the way it is. So you can call these senators and House members and you can talk about a thing with them, or just leave a brief message. Hey, you know, this is coming up down there. You know, think about us, and or whatever you want to do. You know, they'll get back to you. They won't get back to you. But we have to be a little bit more choosier in who we put in those offices, and don't get baffled by their bullshit day in and day out when they come around dog pony show. They'll do anything to get the vote. And then it feels like they leave you high and dry, doesn't it? I understand. But one of the things that bothers me most of all, amongst all of the things, besides voting on their own conscience and stuff like that, because they think they know what's better for the people, is not voting at all. Okay? Not excused for a vote at your state house or in the federal government is unacceptable, and something needs to be done about it. Already 1 hour in the bag. We've got three to go. I'm just filling in for Kate Delaney. My name is George Russell. I will be with you until 4 a.m. I don't know the number to call in, but I'll get it for you on the other side of the hour. We'll take a quick break, and I'll be right back.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95. On sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.